Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and I'm so excited to be continuing in our new series on the Epistle to the Hebrews. Now, I hope you will listen to each one of these episodes because one will build on the other. I do want to reiterate briefly what I said yesterday about the historical setting for this letter, because that is so very important. It clearly says that it's being written to Hebrews, to Jewish people, but to Jewish people who have embraced Jesus as the Messiah. And the context is that the Jews had developed a relationship with Rome in which Rome tolerated them practicing their own religion, which was very different from the polytheism of Rome and Greece, all who worship many gods, and the Jews worshiped the one God of Israel, and they had their own temple and their own sacrificial system and priesthood and everything. And so Rome gave them legal right to carry out their religions. So when the Christian movement broke out in Jerusalem, they were all Jews. And in the beginning, because Rome looked at these Christians as just a sect of Judaism, they did not come under persecution. But as Christianity spread in the Gentile-speaking world, and Christianity began to become a separate movement from Judaism in Jerusalem, Rome began to instigate persecution against them. And then this also led to local and regional authorities beginning to persecute the Christians. Well, this led to Jewish believers being persecuted because they were identified with this Messiah, this Jewish Messiah, Jesus. And so many Jews had decided it would just be easier just to go back to their traditional Judaism they had grown up in, just forget about this Jesus, the Messiah, because, you know, people are being put to death, they're being imprisoned, they're being persecuted. And so many of them were turning back from faith in Jesus and going back to just being good Jews like they had known in the past. And so this letter, it's filled with warnings about the seriousness of turning away from Christ. It's also filled with encouragement about how this new covenant that Jesus inaugurated is so much better than the old covenant and built on better promises. So this is the context in which this letter is written. And so this is something to remember as we go through this. Last week, we majored on verses 1 and 2, where the writer said, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days, so he has spoken in a new way, in a new and final way. He's spoken by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. And we pointed out in passing that the word worlds there, it's a Greek word aeon, it literally means ages. And Jesus is presented as the agency of all creation, not only the physical creation, but even of framing the ages of how God is going to work throughout eternity. We could say that we are in the church age, but there is a new age, and it's not the age of Aquarius. It's not the occultism of the new age movement. It's the coming of God's kingdom in its fullness and power. And verse 3 goes on to describe him, describing Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In other words, if you want to know what God is like, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Jesus was God, and he was and is God incarnate. God in human form. God taking on human flesh. And the way the writer's expressing it here, he's the brightness of God's glory. And he is the express image of his person. I'm writing a book right now called Knowing Jesus, Finding God. You will never find God in all of the religions of the world, whether it's Islam, whether it is, Judaism apart from Christ, whether it is Hinduism, whatever it might be. This is what the writer is saying, that God has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ, that he is the express image of his glory. This book that I'm writing that I'll publish sometime this year, maybe by the summer, Knowing Jesus, Finding God. You want to find God? Get to know Jesus. Wow. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now this is something, upholding all things by the word. And the word, the Greek word for word is rhema, by the rhema. And rhema is a specific word. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. I'll tell you one way that this could be applied in the modern scientific world. I've always had an interest in astronomy, so I have read with interest some of the reports of the new space telescopes, the Hubble telescope, and what is the newest and latest one? Slips my mind right now. But astronomers and astrophysicists have come up with an expression for something they don't understand, but they say it's real. They call it dark matter. And it's dark because they've never seen it. But they say it must exist. Otherwise, they claim that the universe would fly apart. Let me give you an example. Our solar system is very orderly. The sun is in the center, and the planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, so on, are all rotating around the sun, which is in the center. Now, they are all kept in their orbit by the gravitational force of the sun. It is the gravitational force of the sun that keeps the planets in their orbits around the sun. Now, what would happen if Earth got in the center of the solar system? Well, it would totally fly apart because Earth is not large enough. It doesn't have the gravitational force to hold everything in order. If the sun was just a small portion, smaller than what it is, our solar system would fly apart. Our Earth and planets would all just start floating off aimlessly into space. But it is the gravitational force of the sun that keeps everything in orbit. Now, astronomers have discovered that there is an orderliness to our universe. In the same way, our solar system has a center that it's rotating around. Our Milky Way, which is made up of billions of stars and black holes and comets and, you know, and heavenly celestial objects, they are all rotating around a center. There is something at the center of the Milky Way. Some say that it's a black hole exerting a powerful gravitational force that is keeping the Milky Way in order and everything orbiting around the center. Now, there are clusters of galaxies, and they say that these clusters, sometimes made up of 12 or 15, maybe 20 galaxies, they also have a center that they are orbiting around. Now, here's the thing with dark matter. The astrophysicists and the astronomers say there is not enough substance or matter in the universe to hold it all together. They see that it's being held together, but they say there's not enough gravitational force because the larger an object is, the more gravitational force it exerts. But they say there's not enough physical bodies. There's not enough planets. There's not enough suns exerting enough gravitational force to keep everything in the order. Not nearly enough. And so they have come up with this thing. They call it dark matter. There is some force. They can't see it. They don't know what it is, but there is some force, they say, that is keeping the universe from flying apart. I want to suggest to you that the writer of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave us the answer here when he said that this one who is the brightness of the glory of God, who is the express image of his person, and who is upholding all things by the word of his power, that he is the answer, is the explanation of this dark matter. And this also reminds me, let me read this, and I'll read this in closing. It's Colossians, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image, and again, this is talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, very similar to what the writer of Hebrews said. The firstborn over all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and earth, and so on. And then it's verse 17 that says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And that the Greek word translated consist in my New King James, it literally means held together. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. What an awesome Messiah. What an awesome Savior. What an incredible God we serve. And this is the message of Hebrews, warning these Jewish believers, many who are being tempted, and some have already given up their faith in Jesus and go back to just strictly Judaism, telling them the seriousness of what they are rejecting, what they're leaving behind. Well, so thankful for this letter to the Hebrews. And I'm Eddie Hyatt, and this is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. And I hope you'll continue to join me this week as we study this letter to the Hebrews. Share it with your friends. If you think this will be a blessing to some of your friends, share it on your social media. And I know that God is going to lift our faith, going to inspire us and teach us some things that will be life transforming. And I'm Eddie Hyatt, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow for another episode of the Eddie Hyatt Podcast.